Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Primal Potential Podcast. I am Elizabeth Benton. Thanks for joining me. For those of you who love the science-based episodes, my fellow dorks, nerds, get excited. This is a really critical, crucial topic for every single one of us and also for everybody we love. I'm going to be talking about the three killers, the three states within our body that drive disease. Pretty much every disease that we know of is influenced by all three of these, but individually, of course, they are certainly pretty negative in and of themselves. But there are three things that are hallmarks of mental health issues, of a development of cancer, obesity, heart disease, vascular disease, endocrine disorders, you name it, these three are at play. I'll tell you what prompted this episode. I shared on social media the other day a video clip of a prominent psychiatrist, Harvard trained. Her name's Dr. Georgia Ead. And she basically was saying that there are three features that almost all neuropsychiatric disorders have in common along the spectrum. So we're talking everything from like mild anxiety, depression, all the way through to schizophrenia. Across the board, three things that they have in common: oxidative stress, inflammation, and insulin resistance. Oxidative stress, inflammation, and insulin resistance. And she was saying, you know, so what's the driver here? And there's common drivers. She said the fields of nutritional psychiatry and metabolic psychiatry are looking at nutrition. They're looking at seed oils and sugar. So we can classify and say sugar, processed foods, and seed oils as the drivers of all three of these things: oxidative stress, inflammation, and insulin resistance. Now, this got my attention not only because I have battled mightily with postpartum anxiety, but also because these three drivers, oxidative stress, inflammation, and insulin resistance, are also the drivers of cancer, are also the drivers of heart disease, are also the drivers of diabetes, of obesity, of immune conditions, vascular disease, endocrine disorders, and many other things. They're not exclusively linked to diet. There are ways that you can drive inflammation and drive oxidative stress that are not related to diet. Injury, illness, exposure to toxins, smoking. But diet drives all three in a very significant way. So what I wanted to do today is I wanted to first make sure that we understand what we're talking about when we say oxidative stress, when we say inflammation, when we say insulin resistance, because it's very easy to throw these words around, but I think there's a lot of folks that if they were, you know, point blank, hey, what is oxidative stress? They'd be like, I don't know, but I know it's not good. What is inflammation? Swelling, but it also happens on the inside. I'm not really sure. So it's helpful to understand what it is, and then I want to talk about what drives it, and then I want to talk about what do we need to shift? What do we need to shift here? Because if we can minimize oxidative stress, minimize inflammation, and prevent insulin resistance, we have now lowered our disease risk across pretty much every category. We have improved our health holistically across the board in every which way. Oxidative stress. I wanted to start with that one because I think it's the most technical and probably for a lot of people, the most difficult to understand. So oxidative stress is an imbalance between free radicals and antioxidants in your body. When you have more free radicals than you have antioxidants, because these two sort of are counterbalancing, you damage your tissues. Free radicals go around essentially creating instability. Now, in small amounts, we actually need them. We need free radicals. The goal is not eliminate every free radical. They're awful. They do have a role. But when there is an imbalance, they basically scavenge through the body and look to cause harm, look to do damage at the cellular level. And so they create instability in your organs, in your tissues, and this over time results in disease. It's very, very important to mention that there used to be just this huge push. I worked in the supplement industry and I was part of this push for a long time. That this is why we need to supplement with antioxidants. And this is why it's important to take all of these highly concentrated extracts of blueberries and all of this other stuff. Those actually are not shown to make a meaningful difference in the body. And I think that's very important to note, that the best way to go about it is minimizing things that cause this imbalance. And also, which we'll talk about in a second, and also a whole food diet free from toxins so that you're getting naturally occurring antioxidants. So we want to minimize our consumption of things that create free radicals while optimizing our consumption of naturally occurring antioxidants. What I find very fascinating is that if we were to go to measure oxidative stress, if you were to go be part of a research study, or, you know, this was something that your doctors were looking at, the way that oxidative stress is measured is by measuring the byproducts of omega-6 fatty acids. The way we measure oxidative stress is by looking at omega-6 fatty acid metabolites. That's really fascinating, because what that tells us is the more omega-6 we have, the more oxidative stress we have. And when we talk about omega-6s, they are most concentrated in things like seed oils, all right? Talking largely about linoleic acid. And the reason that there's this link between omega-6 fatty acids and oxidative stress or oxidative damage in the body is because these omega-6 fats found in seed oils, and seed oils are found in processed foods, but of course you can buy them by the bottle, and a lot of people do, and I hope you stop. But they are very unstable fats. They are ready to break down. And when they break down into toxic substances. It's important to note that omega-6 fatty acids are most prevalent in seeds. And that's why we talk about seed oils as highly concentrated versions of these things. But animals do not produce omega-6 fats. They might contain some if these are animals that are fed things like corn and soy, that are very high in omega-6 fats. But when we talk about oxidative stress, we're talking about this imbalance of free radicals and antioxidants in your body. So there's more free radicals. They're going around damaging your tissues, resulting in oxidative stress. And the way that we measure that damage is omega-6 fatty acid metabolites, because these omega-6 fatty acids are unstable, very prone to breakdown, which is called oxidation. And when they break down, their byproducts are toxic. So one of the best ways to lower our oxidative stress is by reducing our consumption of seed oils. Don't cook with canola oil, corn oil. Minimize processed foods. Read your labels. And once you start reading labels, you're going to be very discouraged to find how much processed food contains these highly concentrated seed oils. They are so bad for your health. They disrupt the cell membranes. I've done an entire podcast episode on seed oils that I'll link up in the show description. If you want to learn more about this, that's a great episode to go back to. So we know that these three killers, oxidative stress, inflammation, and insulin resistance. What is inflammation? Just like oxidative stress or free radicals aren't inherently bad. Just like inflammation isn't inherently bad. In fact, we need an inflammatory process. If you get something in your eye and your eye swells up, that is inflammation and it's a protective mechanism that we need. If we did not have an inflammatory response, we would die. It's part of our immune system. But what happens is that inflammation goes on overdrive, and so many things in our lifestyle are triggering a response from our immune system that essentially makes it less effective, makes our immune system less effective. So inflammation is a very normal part of your body's responsiveness to injury or illness or some sort of invasion of a pathogen. You know, you get a exposure to a cold virus and your body mounts an inflammatory response to send immune cells to attack. That is good. But when we consume toxins, food, drink, our environment, when we overconsume sugar, when we do not have a balanced microbiome, our immune system starts responding to these things that we are eating and our body begins to break down. Inflammation, when it is on overdrive like this, is the starting point for basically every disease that we know of. The reason that sugar specifically causes an inflammatory response is because when our blood sugar is high, it damages our cells. This is why when you go to the doctor, they might check your hemoglobin A1C, and you'll see it on a lab result as HbA1c. Hemoglobin A1C measures your blood sugar control over time, like about a 3-month period. And so when that number is higher than optimal, it's saying that your blood sugar is averaging a number that is too high. And when that is the case, it damages your cells and your tissues. That's why we start to see diabetics who are uncontrolled. They can have peripheral neuropathy or they're at higher risk of amputation because it damages their cells. And when your cells are damaged, then the way that your blood flow can't happen optimally because you literally start to break down your body. We see it in the eyes with vision loss. We see it in the extremities with loss of feeling or, God forbid, loss of limbs. But this is not something that just is experienced by diabetics. This is something that happens when your blood sugar trends too high for too long. When you eat a standard American diet and your blood sugar is routinely elevated, it breaks down your tissues. And so your body responds with an inflammatory response, damages the cells, and your inflammatory response is fired in response to that. So two huge things to do to manage inflammation: eliminate sugar or minimize sugar, and practice things like having fiber, having protein, having healthy fats when you have starch and sugar so that you don't see the same degree of a blood sugar spike as you would see if you were eating that thing without protein or without fiber or without fat, all right? Seed oils also drive inflammation because, remember, they are unstable. They are ready to break down and their byproducts are toxic. And so your body responds to that toxicity by firing up your immune system and launching an inflammatory response. These seed oils get incorporated into the membranes of your cells because your cell membranes are made of fat, and omega-6s are fats, and our bodies use the fat that we consume to create new cells and therefore new cell membranes, but also to repair existing cells. And so if you are consuming omega-6 fatty acids, that is what your body has. That's the material you've given it to create new cell membranes or to repair existing cell membranes. And so you're putting an unstable fat into your cell wall, and that makes the cell unstable. And your immune system fires up in response to that. And a lot of folks, because of seed oil consumption and because of sugar consumption, are just chronically generating oxidative stress, chronically generating an inflammatory response. The third of the three killers is insulin resistance. We talked a little about oxidative stress. We talked about inflammation. Insulin resistance is what happens when your body becomes less sensitive to the presence of insulin. And a way to think about this is if you get in your car and you turn the music up real loud, after a little while, it doesn't feel as loud anymore, right? The same thing happens when blood sugar is elevated regularly and insulin is constantly being deployed, because insulin is deployed in response to sugar in your blood. Insulin is the usher that helps clear the sugar from the blood, because if it stays in the blood, it becomes toxic. We can't have that. So insulin is sort of the usher that says, oh, we've got sugar here. Let's lead it out of the bloodstream and store it away, or take it to be used and burned for energy, but we got to get it out of the bloodstream. When you are constantly putting more sugar in your blood, insulin is constantly around, your body just kind of stops responding to it because it's always there. What we need to have happen for optimal health is that your blood sugar is not regularly elevated. In fact, it's regularly pretty low and moderate. And so we don't regularly need insulin deployed. And so when insulin is deployed, everybody pays attention, right? Your body's like, oh, okay, insulin's here. Instead of, insulin's always hanging around because my blood sugar's always elevated because I'm always grazing, or I'm always going for the next sweet thing. I've got sugar in my coffee. I've got, you know, berries with my breakfast. I've got a sandwich with chips for lunch. I've got, you know, you don't have to be binging on sugar all day for this to be a problem. Just constantly pinging more than your body needs for fuel with starch, with sugar, with a combination of those two things, your body stops responding to the message of insulin. And that drives disease, because when sugar then stays in the blood, because it's not getting cleared out, because insulin isn't rallying the response that it needs to rally, we then have inflammation, we then have oxidative stress. So this is the trifecta. And this is not just about mental health. Oxidative stress, inflammation, and insulin resistance drive pretty much any malady you can think of. Cognitive decline, brain fog, mood instability, depression, anxiety, cancer, vascular disease, obesity, metabolic syndrome, endocrine disorders, everything. So what do we do? You know, one of the big mistakes that I made for a long time before I knew better was that I just thought of everything that I ate in terms of weight loss. And it would either support weight loss or it wouldn't. And if I ate it and it wasn't supporting weight loss, I'd be like, whatever, I don't care, or whatever, I'll do better tomorrow. And I was completely avoiding the fact that my weight was one small piece of a very large and important puzzle. It's not just about if I want to lose weight or not, if I'm going to lose weight or not, if I care about weight loss or not. It is about my long-term health. It is about my short-term health. It is about my energy. It is about my brain fog. It is about my mood. It is about my long-term cancer risk. It is about the health of my heart and everything in between. One of the biggest things that I want to encourage you in terms of changes to make in light of this understanding, please stop buying corn oil, canola oil, safflower oil. Not only are these super rich in omega-6 fatty acids, they're an incredibly concentrated source of them. So it's not like you just had corn, right? You had an ear of corn and you're wondering if you did something bad. I don't want you to sweat the small stuff. If you're eating whole foods, you're 90% of the way there, right? But when we talk about these highly concentrated, 40, 50, 400 times concentrated means of these getting these omega-6 fatty acids, like in the oils, it's just so toxic. It is so toxic. If you have those things, throw them away. They are not good for anything. Throw them away. Do not buy them. Cook with things like avocado oil, butter, lard, ghee, coconut oil, but no to the safflower canola. Absolutely no. There is no space for it. No room for it. No. The other thing is, start to reduce processed foods. I know for a lot of folks, that's really, really challenging. It felt very easy for me until I had kids. And then with kids, like sometimes you just need convenience things. If you're on a long car ride, you want to pass back little cereal things to keep them occupied or whatever, because you can't eat carrot sticks in the back seat. You know, my kids are really little, so that would be a choking hazard. And every time I looked at the graham crackers, the cheddar bunnies, there's seed oils in there. And that's tricky. And so I work to find other options. We do applesauce pouches. We do string cheese. I'll eventually make crackers. I haven't done that yet. So we just, you know, there are times when you're out at a party and it's inevitable for most people to completely eliminate them. I don't believe that completely eliminating them needs to be the goal to make a massive difference for your health. But start to look at labels. Seed oils, highly concentrated seed oils, are in most processed foods. It's so good for your health to minimize those things. Start to read the labels. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. There was a protein bar that I loved for a really long time, and as I learned more about seed oils, I just can't bring myself to eat it anymore, even though it was delicious and it was convenient, and I felt like it was a better option than, you know, any number of other snacks I could have picked. However, it is not worth what it does to my body to have those seed oils. So start to pay attention when you see things on the labels like partially hydrogenated vegetable oil, corn oil, safflower, sunflower oil, all of those kinds of things. Alarms should go off in your head. The goal is not to completely eliminate them, because they are present in plant foods. So if you get corn on the cob this summer, yeah, there's some omega-6 in there, but it's very, very minimal compared to the highly concentrated versions. So I personally don't, you know, avoid corn for that reason. I don't eat corn every day, but if I'm going to have corn on the cob over the summer, that is not something that I'm worried about destroying my health in the way that the highly concentrated versions are going to do. Start to reduce your sugar consumption. I no longer want you to think about it in terms of body weight. Yes, having a healthy weight is important, and minimizing sugar is as a component there, but the bigger picture is so much more significant, and we need to think about that as well. Minimize sugar, focus on whole foods, start by following the golden rules of carbs and fat loss. I think that's episodes 1162, but definitely 195. I know for sure 195. Otherwise it's like 160, 161, 1162, something like that. But these are the three killers: oxidative stress, inflammation, insulin resistance. And we can get 90% of the way there if we stay away from seed oils and sugar. Stay away from seed oils and sugar, and you have done a massive, massive, massive thing for your health. I don't want anybody to see this as an all or nothing thing. You don't have to avoid every ounce of sugar for the entirety of your life. You can have it here and there, but work towards eventually not having it every day, right? Not even having it every week. It's okay if that is a long journey. It's been a long journey for me, but I hope that you will move in that direction. Oxidative stress, inflammation, and insulin resistance, and those things are being primarily driven by sugar and seed oils. And the place where we find those things the most is going to be in processed foods. So if you just want to focus on one thing, focus on reducing your consumption of processed foods. I'll see you tomorrow.